Okay. Dan Everly is going to be preaching here in just a moment. Just to remind everybody, we are this year, as we've designated, is the year of the Bible, and we want to learn the in and out of that book. So, Brother Dan, I look forward to you preaching, and we thank God for you. Come on up, brother.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning. You can turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 33. Jim, did you get those doors? Ezekiel 33. The reason I asked Pastor to leave that graphic up is because I want to see if I can burn in your brain three words: approved unto God. Approved unto God. Approved unto God. I want to be approved unto God. It's just what jumped out at me at that our memory verse, and I just can't get away from it. I just feel if I could just get the approval of God, I'll be all right. It'll be all right. If I can study and I won't be ashamed, I'll be a workman, but I just want to be approved of God. Now, I'm not going to hit on all the little study techniques. I'm sure we'll get to that all during the week. And, you know, going through your Bible and searching the Scriptures, and that's good. I can't wait for that, because I'm still learning myself. But I just want you to see the reason why the Bible is so valuable to us.
Amen.
Because I want to be approved of God. So let's, you're in Ezekiel 33, but I just want to say, study, our verse here, 2 Timothy 2:15, says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we need the Bible.
Amen.
We need this book. Without it, we can't know God. We can't be a Christian. And the Bible is just such a neglected book today. It's among Christians. The world doesn't read the Bible, for the most part. But with all the technology out there and all the distractions and TV and iPads and everything, we don't read anymore. We just have things flashing before our eyes. And our brains are just melting away. We don't read anymore, let alone read our Bibles. Christians are not reading their Bibles.
That's right.
And not having a daily time actually studying their Bibles. If they're not reading their Bibles, they certainly can't study their Bibles. Find out what God is saying to us. The who, what, where, when, and why. For me, personally, what is God telling me? We don't study our Bibles. And if we're not reading our Bibles, and we're not studying our Bibles, we're certainly not obeying our Bibles.
Right.
And that's why we have the problems we have in our lives. I want to be approved unto God. I want to study to show myself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I want the approval of God. In Ezekiel 33, just look at verse 30. God is speaking to the prophet here, and he said, Ezekiel 33:30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And I think we just get in the habit of coming to church. We just get in the habit maybe praying for a couple minutes, maybe reading a verse of Scripture, or maybe not reading our Bible at all. But if we come to church and we sit here like we always sit here, and we listen to the pastor preach and we love it. Oh, Pastor preached a great message. And we hear it, but we walk out and we don't obey the word. That's what's happening here. We just keep coming and we're in a routine and it's not affecting our life until we begin to obey the word of God.
Amen.
Now, I want you to think about that, because in order to be approved of God, you have to take up your Bible, then you need to begin to study your Bible, and then we need to not only live it and obey it. That's what's going to change our lives.
Amen.
I want to be approved unto God. Can you imagine if each of us were desiring approval from God? That's who I want to please, is my Lord. Just obeying the Bible should be our greatest desire, is to please God.
Amen.
To hear it, study it, live it, obey it. There's a lot of discipline. There's a great lack of discipline in Christians today. The mindset is that we can just do whatever we want. And you really know that you can't do whatever you want. There is coming a day when we have to answer to God. And it affects everyone around us, the things that we do. Don't we want to be approved unto God, not approved unto ourselves? The Bible, reading the Bible and studying the Bible becomes a boring trial. Instead of getting the springs of life, diving into this cool drink of water every day. And sometimes it just smacks me right across the face, and sometimes it lifts me up when I need it. I'll tell you, I've needed some lifting up this week, and the Bible was there to give it to me.
Amen.
I needed faith, and the Bible was there to give it to me. Men can encourage you, but God's the one that can do something in your heart. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he couldn't find anybody else.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I need this book.
Amen.
It's not that I just want it. I need it. Our reacher seems to be in worldly things. You know, Pastor and I were talking about these messages and the focus on them, and it really challenged me. And I know that there's going to be a whole lot of preaching on study techniques and what the Bible means to us. Boy, you just touched on it. I already want to know what you're preaching tonight. I can't wait. But this just jumped off at me. What does it mean to be approved unto God? It's basically that your Christian life would be acceptable and pleasing to God. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Acts 2:22. Peter preaching here says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know," goes on to say that he was delivered up to be crucified by the determinate counsel of God. But you know what Jesus was? He was approved of God. Boy, that's good company. I want to be approved of God, just like Jesus was approved of God. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 10? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 18. Well, look in verse 8 first. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 10:8, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification," his authority as an apostle, "and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." But look at verse 18. So he says, I could boast about the authority that God is giving me for your edification. But in verse 18 he says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth."
Yes.
I want to be commended of God. I don't necessarily need a pat on the back from anybody. It's good to encourage each other, but I want God to pat me on the back. I want to know that God is pleased with my life. And if God is pleased with my life, I'm pretty sure that everybody else will be pleased with my walk as a Christian. I'll burn it into your brain, approved unto God.
Amen.
If you could just walk away today and say, I'm going to try to have God approve of every part of my life, all through the day, that's what I would like to see. It's like an efficiency report you would get on the job. I mean, your boss says, you haven't met the standards. You haven't really been approved this quarter. Your workload has gone down. You're not doing as good as you used to do. You're not approved anymore. You would certainly do something about it if you knew a pink slip was coming from the boss. So why don't we do something when God's not approved of our life?
Amen.
Let's change that thing around. You go to a driver's test. There's a standard you have to meet.
Amen.
I just had the car NCT, and thankfully it went through. But there was a standard it had to meet.
Yes.
But why couldn't Christians seek to be approved unto God? How can that happen? How can all that happen without the perfect Word of God, without our manual, without our guide? Studying, not just reading it, studying. Psalm 119:105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It tells me where I'm at and tells me where I'm going. You want to know the will of God? Open the Bible. You'll learn the will of God. First, let me say, we're commanded to study, and you guys have already heard some great ideas about that, and that it's diligent labor. It's working. You don't put a sermon together. You don't teach Sunday school. You don't go even into the creche and try to help those kids without kind of knowing about your walk with God and getting into the Bible. And you can't teach someone else unless you first have been taught.
Amen.
So we need to study. What are you working at right now? What's the hardest thing that you're working at in your life? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it sports? Is it, recreation, a hobby? Or is it your relationship with God? What's the thing that you're putting the most work into? That's study. Diligence. It's going to take labor. I mean, that's what we do in Sunday school. That's what Sean and Martin are down there doing. They're trying to get the kids to know God.
Amen.
You see?
Amen.
Trying to get the kids to know God. And they're going to have to study and then tell the kids and show the kids how to teach themselves and to read their Bibles. Why? Why do we do that? Why do we study? To show ourselves. That's what it says. To show thyself. You know, there's a King Tut exhibit here, I believe, in Ireland now, up there in Dublin. And what they do is they gather all the different artifacts and all that, not the real thing, but those artifacts, and they put it out on display. It's an exhibit. It's for everybody to see. And you walk past and they look at it, and wow, that's neat. Look at that. That's King Tut. That's him. It's really not. But, you know, it's King Tut. Look at all that. You know what? That's what God's supposed to do with our life.
Amen.
He should be able to walk by and take a look at Johann's life and inspect his life. That's right. Mm-hmm. Because he's on exhibit for God.
Amen.
God ought to be able to look at somebody's life and take a good up and down and say, I'm approving of that.
Amen.
I approve of that. Because I study to show myself approved unto God. Get your life in line with God. Get his approval. A workman. It's going to take some work. Toiling in the Word of God. And God approves and rewards the effort. Needeth not to be ashamed. You don't want to feel like a disappointment to God. Nobody really wants to feel like a disappointment to somebody. But how often do we disappoint God? When we just go our own way and do what we want. And every day we know, I haven't even read my Bible today. And we don't, it's like, he'll understand. Yes, he'll understand, but you're the one suffering for it. You're going farther and farther and farther away from God. Every time you don't pick that book up and read it and study it. You know? And you feel ashamed of your lack of effort, at least you should. You know, I used to be ashamed of what I did. I used to be ashamed of what I thought. I used to be ashamed of who I was. I was ashamed of my whole life. My life was ashamed.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed anymore. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that book.
Amen.
And I don't want to be ashamed of my life either. I want God's approval. I want to live a life that glorifies God, not bring shame to Him. I don't want to be ashamed in my Christian life. So you say, 2 Timothy 2:15, that's written to Timothy. He's a pastor. That's not for me. That was Paul telling him how to behave in the church. So that's not for me. Don't start picking and choosing which scriptures you're going to obey. This whole book is for us. This whole Bible is for us. Let's take a look at some. Acts 17:11. Someone already quoted that. Acts 17:11. Paul going from city to city. He winds up in Berea. And he says in verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. As Paul preached, they searched the scriptures.
Amen.
They didn't just believe everything that came out of his mouth. They searched the scriptures to see if he was saying what he was saying was so. And you ought to have your Bibles open now, and you ought to be searching the scriptures to find out if what I'm saying is so. Amen. We need to search the scriptures. Look at Mark 12. Mark chapter 12. You want to know why you have problems in your life? Why they keep recurring over and over again? And why you can't seem to draw near to God? Because you're not in the Bible. It's because you're not searching the scriptures, let alone living the scriptures. You have to know how God wants you to live in order to live that way. Mark 12:24 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God?" He's talking to the Sadducees about the resurrection. They come giving them this idea that this woman had a husband, and he died, and then the brother came and was the husband, and then he died, and it goes on and on. And Jesus said, "You're not even asking the right questions. You err because you know not the Scriptures. You don't even know what the Bible says." And so many times we err in our Christian life. We're not making the right decisions because we don't know what the Bible says. John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, and in verse 39. Jesus gives all these different witnesses, bearing witness of Him. And He says in verse 39, John chapter 5, verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." He didn't say just search this part of the Scriptures, or just search that part of the Scriptures. He said search the Scriptures. Amen. This whole Bible may not be specifically to you, but is for you. The whole Bible is for us to understand about the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15:4. Keep turning to the right. Romans 15, and in verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning."
Amen.
You see, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The more you get into this book, when the rug's pulled out from under your life, you're going to have comfort of your friend. Comfort of your neighbor. Comfort from your money. No, you won't. Comfort from the Scriptures. This is what's kept me going. And I'm not afraid to say it, or ashamed to say it. God's the one that keeps me going. Because I just want to study the book and I learn more about Him. And when I need Him, He's right there. I go to the Scripture and find Him. And just what I need. 1 Corinthians 15. Just keep turning to the right. 1 Corinthians 15. And in verse 3 and 4. "You know these Scriptures. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." That's the entire gospel. And two verses of Scripture. You would know the gospel. Now, there's a lot that goes with that, but you would know that Jesus died on the cross, He was buried, and that He rose again. That is the gospel in two verses. Finally, 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:15. Not 2:15, 3:15. Talking to Timothy, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." He learned from his mother and his grandmother the Scriptures. You think we shouldn't tell our kids in the home about Jesus Christ and let them search the Scriptures together? Why? Because it made Timothy wise unto salvation. We need the Bible. God gave us this Bible for a reason, so that we could know Him, so we know the truth, so we know the gospel of salvation. We need the Bible. We need to be approved unto God by searching it and studying it. So I want you to see first that we just need to be a student of the Bible. You need to go back to school and be a student of the Bible. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. None of this is deep. None of this is real meat. You know what the problem is? We don't need meat. We need some milk. And we need to start drinking the milk. And we need to start growing. So that when the meat comes, we're ready for it. You see? We want that meat. This is just, I'm just trying to give you an overview so that when we start learning how to study the Bible and search the Scriptures, you'll know that how valuable it is to have this Bible and to be approved unto God, you see. But John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus spoke, look at verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. I don't know about you, but I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That means you must continue in the word of God. It didn't stop when you got saved. You continue in the word of God. You learn it, and you begin to rightly divide the word of truth. You learn what this scripture means about this scripture and how they all tie together. And you begin to grow because you're a disciple. A disciple is a learner of the one that they're following. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ. And I'm following him, so I need to learn more about him. So I stay focused on him. You can be a disciple of anyone. But whatever it is you're going to follow, you're going to have to learn about it to follow it. And to be like that person. So I want to follow Jesus. We want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. So we're going to have to learn about him. That's what a disciple is. A follower and learner of Jesus Christ. Now, you just need to, get into the word of God. You need to love each other. And you begin to bear fruit in your life. And you keep your focus on Jesus Christ. That's being that's a disciple every day. Putting Christ first in your life. But you know, there's an old saying that says, you give a man a fish, and he will eat for a day. You teach a man to fish, and he can eat for life.
That's right.
It's good to be in church on Sunday morning. We're supposed to be here. Yeah. When I sit over there and I'm being taught, I'm learning. I'm learning how to fish. But you know what? I'm being fed. But I also want to learn how to feed myself. So that I can go home and read my Bible, and I'm feeding myself now. I don't need somebody to spoon feed me all the time. We need to grow up, you see. Grow up. We need to fish for ourselves. That's discipleship. That's why I study on my own. That's why I when I teach a discipleship to somebody, I need to read all about it all over again and know for myself what is the Bible saying so that I can teach someone else. That's why I go to the Cork Bible Institute, because I'm still learning the Bible. I want to learn more about Jesus Christ because I want to be his disciple, the best disciple that I can be, a follower of him. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We need to go back to school. It doesn't get any easier than rolling out of your bed and going on a nice easy chair and getting your Bible and opening it up for an hour. It doesn't get any easier. You don't have to get up and get dressed and get on a bus. And ride, 20 miles or whatever. You just get up out of bed and start reading your Bible. But you're going back to school because you're learning about Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So, I want to grow in grace. Oh, just the fact that Jesus gives me and loves me unmerited. He just loves me. I want to grow in that grace. But also the knowledge of him. I want to grow in the knowledge of him. Why? Because in verse 16 it says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them, talking about Paul, Peter here talking about Paul, of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It'll pay each one of us to read our Bibles and know what we believe. So someone can't come along and snatch you away with a false doctrine. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Don't think there's not people out there trying to get you to believe something different than what you already believe.
That's right.
You get into your King James Bible, you won't be led away. You get on the internet, you could. There's a lot of doctrine out there. There's people waiting for spaceships to come.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm waiting for Jesus to come. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Now this one thought is from verse 11 all the way to 16. But right in the middle of it, it says that we henceforth be no more children. Ephesians 4:14. Tossed to and fro. You see that? Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, where they lay by in wait to deceive. People want to deceive you, and they can if you're just a little baby in the Word, and you won't grow. You won't try to grow up, so somebody can't come by and say, "You want this little piece of candy? Come here, come here." That's what they do, you know, when they try to get these kids into the car. They try to lure them in with a piece of candy. Then they take them and do all kind of wicked things to them. Because they're trying to lure them in with a piece of candy. There's false teachers out there that are trying to lure you away from the truth.
Right.
And if we're just little children, we're going to be carried over here. Then we believe this over here. Then we believe this. Get in the King James Bible. Study the King James Bible. And you'll have the true doctrine. What you need to know. And you'll get steadfast. And you'll get anchored. And nobody will be able to move you. I don't care where the rest of them go. I know what the Bible says. And that's where I'm going to stay. That's where I'm going to stay. Be a student of the Word of God. Pastor doesn't have any special luck on the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
He doesn't have any more of it than you do, or you, or anyone else in here. You just have to put the time in. You just got to be a student. And many of you are students in here. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying all of us, though, need to be approved unto God. So you better start studying your Bible if you want to grow up. So, we need to grow. And men will try to get you to believe something other than some Bible doctrine that you already know. But you need to grow up. To know the Bible is to know God. Isn't that good? The more I know about the Bible, the more I know about God and who He is. And I can't know Him apart from this Word. So I want to be a follower, like John 8:31 says. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be approved as a follower. Just want to follow Him. Just obey Him, and I want to be approved as a disciple, learning more about Him so that I can follow Him better. I don't want to be on and off again. I want to be steadfast, always learning about Him, just to be a better disciple of Jesus Christ. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." You know, just rooted and built up in Him. Walk in Him, the Bible says in verse 6. Walk in Him. That means continual forward progress. Learning about Him, following Him, obeying Him. You can't stop at salvation. Yes, you got saved. Yes, you're going to heaven. But you're like a baby left on the doorstep. Where someone's got to take you in and teach you. Be willing to be taught. If you're not being discipled, now you ought to see pastor after and say, "I need to be discipled by someone. I need to be in the Cork Bible Institute." You're missing out. Because I love it. Even the quizzes. Somehow I love them too. Because they help me. I'd rather stick pins in my eyes sometimes. And when he gives a quiz, when I had Greek, I'd rather chew glass than do Greek. I'm done with it. But you know what? I'm learning. I'm 55 years old. I'm back in school. Because I want to just learn more about Jesus Christ. I want to keep following Him. I want to keep going forward. But look what it says. We can be anchored in the Lord, and still abounding in the Lord. Even though my feet are dead set in the Word of God, I can still grow. You see? Because it says, rooted and built up in Him. You know, it's just like a tree. You know, if a tree's big enough, no matter what hits it, the tree doesn't move, does it? It doesn't move. Whatever hits it is demolished. If it's a car or a truck, trees don't move. They just don't move because they're rooted. Their roots are way down in the soil. And those roots are pulling up all those nutrients, and it makes this tree stronger. And what does the tree do? It grows bigger. That's the Christian. Should have his roots into the Word of God, drawing more and more nutrients out. And you grow up, not any bigger. I'm talking about bigger in the Lord. You're a better disciple of the Lord. You see? You have more faith in the Lord. They grow up, the tree, and they grow out. And we need to bear fruit in our life. By sticking our roots deep into this book, and we'll begin to bear fruit in our life, just like this tree, rooted down into the soil of the Word of God. We should anchor ourselves in the Bible and feed on the Word of God. Hold your finger here, just go back to Ephesians back two books there, and you'll see Ephesians chapter 3. To the left, two books. Ephesians 3, look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Why, Paul? You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The deeper I put my roots into this book, the more I know about Him and how much He loves me. I get more of the knowledge of Him. He already knows everything about me. I'm learning about Him. I want to be a student of the Bible. I want to be rooted in the book, and I want to keep growing. Because the next thing I want you to see back in Colossians, it says rooted and built up in Him. It's not a matter of trying to be better than someone else. It's trying to be more like Him. I just want to be more like Him. We don't commend ourselves, compare ourselves with ourselves. We compare ourselves with Jesus Christ. So I want to get rooted down into the Bible, then I want to be built up. It's a continual building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us that. Immovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, growing as a Christian. Just like any structure, we need to be solid and firm and sound in the Word. The landlord had a guy come out, Connor, he's a stonemason, and put the stone in the front of the house. If you'd ever seen the house, it was just kind of bare block there, and he put the stone in. And I was watching him do it. And he's got the technique. I mean, he's a stonemason. And he put it up so far, and then he stopped. I said, why are you stopping? He said, you can only go so far. And then you let that just kind of sit. Tomorrow, he goes up a few more feet. He doesn't put it all up at once. So little by little, he's building a wall.
Amen.
Okay? And it's getting firm down here, and then he builds on top of it again. And I'll tell you, that was just a great illustration for me. The wall was built in sections. You don't grow all at once. I'm still growing.
Amen.
I just keep adding on. Little here, little there. You know, precept upon precept, line upon line, learning about Jesus, becoming more like Him. It's a little bit at a time. But don't stop growing. Because the moment you stop growing, you start slipping back. And I don't want to go backwards. I just want to keep growing. Even though it's little sometimes. Sometimes there's a spurt. Do you ever see a kid get a growth spurt between like 14 and 15? It's like you're talking to him down here, and then you see him at the summer, and he's like 5 inches. It's like somebody watered this kid or something. It's amazing how fast they just grow in one summer. But there's going to be growth spurts too. Now, why do you want to do that? 1 Peter 3:15. Why do you want to keep growing? 1 Peter 3:15. Says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. A reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're supposed to have an answer. We should be able to answer people. Now I know I didn't have all the answers when I first got saved. I babbled all kinds of different things. But now I think I can give an answer, pretty much. And you know what happens when I don't have the answer? I say, I don't have that answer. I just simply tell them, I don't know, but I'll try to find out for you. But I do have more answers than I used to have when people ask questions. I mean, Jim and I had couple people at the door yesterday, and it was just going on and on about Darwin and evolution and spirituality, and we just kept going to the book and giving them answers. And at the end, it was like their mouth is just shut. Now, I don't want them shut in a bad way. It's just that they have no more places to hide. And finally, you walk away, and you see the conviction on that one boy's face, couldn't we, Jim? It was all over for him. He was a sinner. He was lost. He's got to go deal with that now. But you just have an answer for him. It's not to hurt them. It's to help them. Well, we have the truth. We ought to speak that truth in love to a lost world. I'm learning, as I said. And I'm learning. I had to learn in order to try to give you what God's given me. Those three simple words. I want to be approved unto God. What does that mean to me? And so I just searched around a little bit and did some reading and put some things down on paper, and I'm just giving it to you. But it helped me to grow and to have an answer. 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. Why do you need to know the Bible? You can have an answer for other people. And 2 Timothy 2:2, says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Here's a deep one. Just to teach others also. To teach your kids. To teach people that you know about Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to teach somebody. You ought to be able to give this stuff out to help other people. So you need to be a student. You need to go back to school and be a student of the Bible. You need to see the value, number two. You need to see the value of knowing God's Word. You need to see the value in it by obeying it. You need to have a life that's governed by God.
Amen.
God is in control of your life. That's the value of knowing the Bible. As your life is approved unto God, your whole life becomes controlled by God. It's not a bad thing. That is not a bad thing. I don't want control of my life. I mess it up. I messed it up for 35 years. I don't want to mess it up again. Amen. So I want God to have the governor, as it is on, you have governors on big trucks. They can only push it down. When I drove a crane, I could only push that pedal down all the way to Ford. It would only go 55 miles an hour. I don't care if it was downhill, uphill, it never got any faster. It was governed. It had a limit on it. I want God to put limits on my life.
Amen.
I want God to be the governor, the ruler in my life. You see? In my home, in church, I want to be a servant of God. I want to be the best husband and father I can be. In my occupation, in a sense, as a missionary preacher, I want to be approved unto God. And just in my daily life, as a Christian, I want to be approved unto God. I want to, and the value is that I get that from the Bible. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only." Okay? I need to be a doer of the word of God. And there's value in that. Doing it is what changes your life. Not reading it. Not just studying it, obeying it. That's what changes you when you obey the Word of God. There's a great value in just knowing the Word of God and then obeying it. I get all the benefits from having the mind of God about every situation. Every problem, everything that I have to deal with in my life, I have the mind of God on that through studying the Word of God. I also get to help people around me by drawing on my own walk with the Lord. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, what? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." How are you going to help somebody? How are you going to help me when I need it if you're not spiritual? If we're a bunch of spiritual infants, we're not able to help each other. We're going to have to grow up so we can help each other. So that when I fall, you help me. When Jim's falling and he needs somebody, I'm able to help him. You see? This isn't just for you. It's for everyone around you. It's for the next generation. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Jim, is this your life verse now?
Verse 9.
Verse 9? All right, well, I'm going to verse 8. Verse 9 is good too, though. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous."
Amen.
"And then thou shalt have good success." Verse 9 is good too. Well, all I'm saying is Joshua put God was telling him, "Don't let this law of the Lord depart out of your mouth. Keep it, Joshua. You're going to need it. Live it. Obey it. When you meditate on it day and night and observe to do all that's in that book, all that you know that I'm telling you and commanding you, then," it doesn't happen before, "then, after you obey, then your way is prosperous. Then you'll have good success." And moms and dads, we need God's Word in our hearts. And we need to be living it and obeying it and teaching our children. And they see our lives changed. Then you're going to have good success in your home. Then you're going to have prosperity in your life. Real prosperity. Spiritual prosperity in your home. Allow it to influence every decision that you make in your home.
Amen.
That's good stuff. That's what we need from God. That's the value of knowing the Word of God and His approval on every decision that we make. Allow it to direct in the training of your children. Teach them. That's value. The Bible is valuable. Joshua 24. Look at the end of Joshua's life. They're in the land, many conquests. Joshua 24, look at verse 14. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. He gathered everyone there together, all the Israelites. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." So they said, "We're going to obey God." Joshua and his family took a stand, with Joshua leading in the home, saying, "I'm not going to let this word of God depart out of my mouth. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to continue in it. You need to fear God and serve God with sincerity and truth. And that truth is the Bible. You're going to need the Bible in your home, in your life." Why? To verse 15, because you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to make a choice whether you're going to serve the gods of this world or whether you're going to serve the true and living God. You say, "Oh, we wouldn't go that way." You wouldn't. Each and every one of us at times have turned from God to our gods.
Right.
Small g.
Right.
Let's remember that. We are only as close to God as we want to be. God doesn't move, we do. Mm-hmm. And we go after our other gods. "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Draw a line in the sand and say, "I'm going to serve God. I'm going to search the Scriptures. I'm going to study the Scriptures. And I'm going to obey the Scriptures." And then I'm going to have a prosperous home. I'm going to have a home that's filled with spirituality and teach my children. You've got to decide to obey the Lord and serve Him. God approves of that.
Amen.
God approves of that. Turn to Judges chapter 2. Just turn to the right. About 3 or 4 pages, you'll probably find Judges chapter 2. Joshua ultimately goes the way of all men. But in verse 6, "And when Joshua," chapter 2, verse 6 of Judges, "and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land." Remember, they're ready to obey now. They're in the land. "And all the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." Why? You want to know why? Because apparently they weren't told. They didn't see the flood and how they went through the Red Sea. They didn't see how God brought them into the land and turned all their enemies away and gave them great conquest. They didn't see that. Somebody had to tell them.
Yes.
Their mom and dads had to tell them about the wonderful works of God. Boy, that's our Bible club this year. The wonders of God. Someone has to tell the children. There's kids that you're seeing right at the door, don't you, Jim? They have no idea who God is. They have no idea what He can do. They have no idea they were created by God. And that they have a soul. And that if they got saved, they would go back to what God originally wanted for their life. A purpose and a plan for their specific life. Just like Jeremiah. But they don't know. And this whole generation did not know God. They didn't know God. Because they weren't told. You better see the value of telling your children. This generation needs to hear about God.
Amen.
Less and less are hearing about God, aren't they? They just weren't told. And then in verse 12 it says, verse 11, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam." They said they were never going back to their gods. "And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger." Those things were written aforetime are for our learning. Why do I need to know this? Because the same thing can happen to me in my home.
That's right.
If I don't tell my children, they're going to go after other gods. And they are. What's the value of having a Bible so that we can tell our children? Teach them in the home for the next generation. I can have discernment. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. You know what? I need to know what to do in every situation. Some people think they're just going to go on their own wisdom. And God says that wisdom is foolishness. In many cases, it's not going to help you to have some street smart or business wise, not when it comes to raising your children or making decisions in the home. It's a spiritual decision that needs to be made. And you need God's word for that. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart guarded. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The greatest priority is for you to guard your own heart. Because out of it, the protecting your heart, all those choices come out of your heart. That's where you make your decisions, down deep in your soul. But you put the Bible in, and you read it, and then you draw it down into your heart to make decisions, meditating on the Word of God. The decisions really aren't made up here. That's where the facts are stored. It's down here the decisions are made, in your heart. Not the physical heart, down deep in that part of your soul that uses the Word of God to make decisions, if you'll let it. We need to fill our minds with the Word of God. We need to renew our minds so we can think right, so we can make the right kind of decisions. I have wisdom from God. I can make decisions now. Someone may say, you have a lot of wisdom about that. Yeah, God, I just got it from the Lord. Amen. I got it from reading my Bible and just believing it and trusting Him by faith. I want God to approve of my decisions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, you don't have to turn here. It just talks about the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness unto him. But the spiritual man judgeth all things. You see? Because he has the Spirit of God. If you yield to the Spirit of God, read your Bible, and let Him teach you, you'll be able to judge all things. You'll be able to make the right choices in your life. It's as simple as that. And you know, all of us are making the wrong choices when we don't get in this book. We don't get the mind of God on things, and that's why we're having problems in our life. We're not making the right choices. We're not trusting God. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 14. Well, verse 13 says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And some of us are still drinking in the milk. We just got saved. We're babes. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So it's going to take some exercise. You're going to have to do some spiritual work, because strong meat is only eaten by grown-ups, people who have teeth. And then the older you get, you lose your teeth. You can't. You're back eating baby food again. At least that's the way it seems. But you know, strong meat is for mature Christians, those that are going to have grown up and are of full age and matured. You have to grow up in order to understand the things of the Bible. But that's by reason of use. You have to obey. You have to practice. You have to put it into your life. There's a value in knowing the Bible, but you have to put it into practice in your life. I mean, that's what sports figures do. If they want to become better Olympians, they have to practice. They have to train. Why doesn't the Christian train in being a better Christian? That's what doctors do. They train to improve their skills, and that's what we ought to do. We need to apply the principles of God to our life. Look, I had to figure out, when I first got saved, how in the world I was going to tithe. How in the world was I going to give God 10% off the top of my income when I was up to here in debt? How was that going to happen? Mm-hmm. Until I finally went to the altar, and the pastor prayed with me. As a Christian of only maybe a year, and I said, "I don't know how this is going to happen. This doesn't figure. I can't do it." He said, "Let's just pray about it." You know what I did? I started tithing. Amen. You know what I looked at? My bank book, and I went, "This ain't working." But I just tithed and did what I thought was next. Pay him in order. Just keep paying. And you know what? Within 3 years, I was in the black. Amen. And I was given more to missions than my tithe. God did a work in me.
Amen.
Okay? All I did was apply His principle to my life. It's the same thing with an unforgiving spirit. Start forgiving people and you'll find out that bitterness will go away. The devil's got nowhere to hide in a forgiving spirit. You see? These are just principles in the Bible that we need to apply to our life. And they will help us. But you have to use it by reason of use. You become more skilled, more apt at trusting God and believing Him. It's a spiritual exercise for the Christian to learn and to make the right choices. We just become more skilled at it. Let me give you one hint of what to do. Maybe read the book of Proverbs every month. You'll read the book of Proverbs 12 times, the whole book, 12 times in a year. If you just read whatever day it is, read that proverb. Today's the 10th, you read Proverbs chapter 10. Tomorrow's the 11th, you read Proverbs chapter 11. Every month you read through the entire book of Proverbs. That's wisdom. Pretty soon you'll be making decisions. Say, where'd that come from? It just came from you just read it in Proverbs and you're following it now. Everyone in here ought to be reading a proverb for that day, whatever day of the week it is, whatever the number of the day, that's the proverb you read that day. And every month you'll read through the entire book of Proverbs. That's what I've been doing for many, 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 many years. It's God that does those things. I want to be approved in my behavior. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
So now, in a sin-cursed world, all the wickedness that's out there, I can be approved in my behavior before God. Because He gives me the truth, I live the truth, and I'm not bound by sin anymore, and I have these wonderful boundaries in my life that keep me from falling into sin. Constantly going into sin in a very wicked world. But I know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I've never been more free than now that I study my Bible and I know Christ is my Savior. He's put all these boundaries up, but they're just safety barriers to keep me from getting into trouble in my life. So it's wonderful to have all this freedom. And I get to a barrier and, no, that's not right. God said don't do that, and don't do that, and do that. I have all this freedom in my life now. And you know what? When I go to sleep at night, I just dream nice dreams. You know, I'm not like I used to be. I'm a different person. I go to sleep at night with a clear head, transparent. This is who I am. God's changed me, and He's given me freedom from the with boundaries in my life, and I like being free. And I've been transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 talks about, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How are you going to do that? Put the Bible in and force those other bad thoughts out of there. Get that other junk way tucked back in there somewhere. You know, all the things that you've seen and heard, and they're still there, you know, but you can make them into this tiny little and get it way back there in the back of your brain and put into your mind all the Word of God and fill your mind with the Word of God. God approves of my service too. Look in Acts chapter 20. Passed over a couple of scriptures there, but turn to Acts chapter 20. I want God to approve of my behavior. You know how you get God to approve of your behavior? John chapter 15 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall do what you want. You shall ask what you want, and I shall do it for you. Is that what it is?
You shall ask what you will.
You ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What I'm saying is, in order to, it's abiding in Christ. John chapter 15 tells us to abide in Christ. And how do you do that? You be in the Word of God. You be in the Word of God. And that's how you're gonna, that's how your behavior is gonna improve, by being in the Word of God and abiding in Him. In Acts chapter 20, and in verse 19, Paul says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I just wanted to say that in order to serve the Lord correctly, you're going to have the mind of Christ. And Paul has it here. He said, humility of mind. We're just going to have to humble ourselves if we're going to be the right kind of servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I serve the Lord with all humility of mind. We're going to have to have the mind of Christ. In order to have the mind of Christ, you're going to have to read the Bible. You're going to have to study the Bible and find out about Jesus Christ. And be burdened in your heart and then be committed like Paul was in verse 24. I need the Bible to teach me how to serve the Lord. Okay? And that's why we need the Bible. It's a valuable tool for us to learn and know how to serve God.
Amen.
And finally, we should just desire God's approval in our life. Because He's our judge. He's the final judge. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just a few minutes here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is all going to be over. And we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, in verse 7 it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Do you see that? "That we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Someday, you're going to stand before the judge. Not an earthly judge. And we still get all dressed up. We look good, but we go through to an earthly judge, and our knees are still kind of knocking. What's he going to do? What kind of sentence is he going to pass? Am I guilty or innocent? How's he going to take care of this situation? What's going to be his ruling? Someday we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And He is going to judge us. It says right there. So, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, approved unto God. I want to be approved unto God. When I go to heaven and stand before Him, I want to be approved. I want to hear, "Well done."
Amen.
It's a walk of faith. If you want God's approval, you're going to have to walk by faith, trusting the Word of God, studying the Word of God, living the Word of God. We labor and strive and obey to be accepted and approved of Him. Do you see that? Galatians 1:10 tells us that we shouldn't seek the approval of men. We should seek the approval of God. That's who we want. I want God's approval. Colossians 3:22-24, it talks about that also. You need to focus on pleasing the Lord. Don't be men pleasers. Focus on God. Get His approval. If you're doing it right for God, if God's happy with what you're doing, if God's pleased by it, men will honor you when you're supposed to get honor, or pat you on the back, let you know, "Well done." But that's not what you seek. You seek God's approval. Seek God's approval. Romans 12:1-2, you don't have to turn there. It just talks about the will of God, presenting your body a living sacrifice. You know, we need to know His will. We need to know the will of God. His will is always best for our life. And it's going to take you renewing your mind to prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. You're going to have to renew your mind. You can't know the will of God unless you're into the Bible. Once you're into the Bible and you learn the general will of God and what it says in the Bible, He begins to start nailing away at you and tell you exactly what He wants for your life. I want you to go to the mission field. I want you to teach a Sunday school class. I want you to be at Bible clubs this year and take care of a kid. I don't know. But also, just a will for your life. He has a specific will for your life. It's one thing to know God's will. It's another thing to do it. It's another thing to do it. Let's finish up with Acts chapter 9. And we're done. Most of us, some of us, may even know God's will, but we aren't doing it. You can know God's will all day long. It ain't going to help you until you do it. Until you do it. My life verse is, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Really, you know what the problem is? It's us. We won't die to self. We want to do what we want to do. Simple as that. We need to do His will. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, you know Paul's conversion. Paul got it right. Finally, in verse 6, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do." Take that little phrase there. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's two sections. Lord, what wilt thou? Stop. Lord, what is your will?
Amen.
You find that out. Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou? But don't stop there. Have me to do. Paul said, do. What is your will for me? I'm going to do it. Paul finally got it. And we need to get the same way. We need to come to a place of complete surrender and humility before God. Say, Lord, I know your will. I want to do your will. I know your will for me. I'm going to do it. Have you? Is your life approved to God? Could you right now say, my life is approved of God? Or there's areas of my life that are not approved of God, but I want them to be. I want them to be. Lord, I know what your will is. Or I'm going to find out what your will is in the Bible. And then I'm going to do it. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Are you ready to surrender? Completely humble yourself? It's so that you're approved unto God. Starting to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to be a student of the Bible. You need to see the value of the Bible by living it. Have a life governed by God. And then you need to just desire His approval because He's our judge. He's going to take the final say. Is your life approved unto God? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for what you showed me. And as best as I could, I just pray that you'd use your word, Father, and just put it into the hearts of the people. I pray we don't walk out like they did in Ezekiel and just heard what they may consider a voice, a familiar voice, and then just forget all about what they heard and not do what they've heard. Father, you've spoken to us, so now I pray we put it into practice, that we would not let the word of God depart out of our mouth and watch how you will work in our lives. Father, help us to desire to be approved of God. We'll thank you for all those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would stand, thank you, Brother Dan. 202, in times like these, like the second verse, you need the Bible. 202, as we stand, in times like these. Thank you, Adam. 202. In times like this, I like this.